Welcome to Mind Shock. This is Bruce McGuire, and I have a very special guest here today, Mr. Jeff Sims, a longtime Bigfoot researcher, here to talk to you guys about Bigfoot evidence, different Bigfoot theories, and famous Bigfoot photographs. As always, if you like the podcast, you can donate to our PayPal. Just check the link in the description. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit the bell for notifications. If you like the podcast, hit the like button. Feel free to share it across social media platforms like our Facebook page. You could also check us out, Twitter, Reddit, Patreon. Okay, Jeff, do you want to give your quick background and how long you've been into the field of Bigfoot and what got you into it?
Okay. Yes. Okay. I've been researching Bigfoot for 43 years. My first experience with Bigfoot was back in 1977, and it was kind of a close encounter. My dog woke it up, okay? And what happened was, we were hunting, there was five of us, Pat, Danny, and Warren, and myself. My dog came running out of the woods. Now, my dog's a red bone lab mix, and he turned around, hit me in the leg, and he went behind this one swamp that we were passing. And 2 seconds later, comes running out full throttle, tail behind his legs, his ears are pinned back, and he's running full throttle, just flat out getting it. And we weren't sure what was going on. One of the guys named Pat asked me, "So you think it's hogs?" I said, "Chico would have caught a hog." And it wasn't hogs. About 5 seconds later, all hell breaks loose and things are shaking, you know, palmettos and silk oak trees, all of it was shaking, and Bigfoot got up. Two of the guys in the group took off right there, Danny and Horn. Boom, they're gone. We stood there and watched Bigfoot get up and try to get his bearings on what he's doing. Apparently, he hunted that night and he was sleeping. A dog woke it up. Anyway, he's reddish brown. And about 7.5, maybe 8 foot tall. And big boy. He was standing there trying to get his bearings and turned around and started to head towards our trail.
How far were you from, how far were you at the moment?
15 feet.
15 feet?
15 feet.
Wow.
We were real close to it. It didn't know we were there. And that was so cool. So we turned and ran, and you know, I mean, after he started turning towards the trail, we get down to the end of the trail, which made a left-hand bank. I stopped and turned around and looked back to see if this thing was following us. It was not. And we made it to the house. I called back up to the guys. And we get back to the house. I talked to the guys, I calmed everybody down, blah, blah, blah. And I told them, we're going back out. Well, Danny and Warren looked at me like, oh, are you crazy? That thing's out there. And I turned around and said, that thing headed north. I said, we're going back out on the southeast trail. Now, mind you, we had 4,380 acres behind our house. Okay.
And for those that don't know, what state are you in?
Florida.
So this is in Florida, and a lot of people don't know. Actually, Florida is one of the top states for Bigfoot sightings. People don't actually, people that are not experienced researchers, they kind of figure it's all Washington, Oregon state. But Florida has a surprising amount of sightings. And was this at night? What time was this?
It was during the daytime. It was around 1 o'clock. It was in August, and there was a major thunderstorm coming, you could set your watch by every day. And once we went back out, we walked down three properties to a lot that was not cleared, and there's a horse trail, okay? And once, you know, I kept everybody in line. I said, stay off the horse trail and watch out for rattlesnakes. And when we got down to that line, there was a Bigfoot track, okay? And it was about 17 inches, about 7.5 wide. I didn't have a tape measure, but we're looking at it, and all of a sudden it starts tearing in with water. Do you know what that means?
No.
That means it was just made. So here's Bigfoot number two. And I got up, Pat got up. I said, look around, start checking around, and see if you can see this. And that's what brought the hair on the back of my neck up. You know, I'm only 11 years old, right there. I'm 53 now. So,
what year? So what year would that make that?
1977.
So 1977. And how old were the people with you?
11 or 12.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all youngsters. And I said, that's it. That's the end of the hunt. We're going home. Well, Danny and Lauren, the two guys that ran, called their parents. And they went home. And I told them, before they went home, I said, you better not tell your parents about this. I don't want a phone call at my house upsetting my mom and my dad at that time. And blah, blah, blah. We kept it quiet.
How long did you keep up all of it a secret for? All of you guys successfully kept it a secret?
Yes. And there's a reason. And I'm getting to that. So that night, Pat and Pat stayed. And what we did, the rain was coming, so we covered the firewood. But we went out in the barn and we built with the steers, you know, we had, and I'm a cowboy, right? You know, and make a long story short, the rain ended. I said, I'm not sleeping in a tent, not knowing those things are out there and coming in. No way, not gonna happen. So we stayed up on top of a chicken coop that night. And, well, everything is pretty much quiet. Then about 2:30 in the morning on Sunday, I heard something. And I shut them two up because they were talking. And I said, listen, you know, there's something moving. And it sounded like the freight train going out on the north end of this property. And it was loud. You could hear it. And it went through, and we listened to this for about 25 minutes. And it finally reached Kalash Road and crossed over to Beard Extension. So anyway, sunlight came up around 6:37. We jumped down, and they went home. I went inside and told my dad about this. I called him out. I said, Dad, I gotta show you something in the barn and just keep my mom out of the works on this. And go to the barn and I tell my dad, I said, we saw Bigfoot yesterday. In fact, we ran into two. Saw one, but we saw, you know, evidence of the second one. And he got mad at me. I said, I didn't want mom getting upset. She jumped in her car and hauled ass to Gainesville. I said, no, you know, she don't like being out there. Anyway, Dad calmed down and I told him the story and he's okay with it. Kind of laughed at the end. And I had to call two people, friends of mine that lived in that area in the woods. And I called Sean, told him about it, hung up with him, went on with Daryl. Well, Daryl's dad was a range deputy, which is a cop. You know, he's a sheriff, you know, and, well, I told Daryl to stay out of the woods. I saw Bigfoot, and his dad walked into the damn kitchen and turned around, and Daryl goes, "Dad, you saw Bigfoot." Yeah. And he snatched that phone away from Daryl and asked me what was going on. I told him everything. He told me, "Stay out of the woods. Don't tell anybody. I don't need a bunch of hunters out there." I said, "Okay." And that was it for that day. Monday comes across. I go to the bus stop. And I tell Ronnie at the bus stop that lives across the street, we had a fort in the woods. I told him, "Stay out of the woods. Don't go to the fort." And everything is cool. Well, I'm out of school. I hear Carl's truck coming down the road, and it's slowing down, and it comes in the driveway. So I meet him at the truck, and he shuts it off, and he goes, "Jeff, where are you going hunting?" I told him I was going down to the northeast, northwest, Oak County. The squirrel hunt. It's a good thing you didn't go out there, boy. So there's tracks all around there. Blah, blah, blah. So we went out Sunday, him and Jim Klein, the partners, and so we found every track. And so there are multiple tracks. And there's, he told me there was, like the mother and father, the two centuries that I ran into, and then there was two youngins. So there were six of them. I said, "I'll be damned."
There were tracks of six distinct different ones?
There were six Bigfoot. Yes, there were six Bigfoot.
And how far was this from your house when you spotted it the first time, when you stumbled upon it sleeping?
Not even half a mile.
Huh.
Not even. Yeah, it was real close. And it's funny, my dog was jumping through the palmetto like a deer would jump, spring up and come up. And he smelled it before we did. I smelled it too, but I thought it was just a swamp. Apparently not. And, it's crazy.
So for people that don't know Florida, which part of Florida is this?
I live in Central Florida. This all happened in Sarasota, Florida. Okay?
And this was in the 70s before it was developed, like it is now.
Yeah. It was all cattle and citrus, man. It was basically born on that. And now, I wouldn't go there if you paid me. it's crazy. I live in a town now, in Bowling Green, where I'm having all these sightings. It's only got one stoplight, and I love it. But let's get back on the track here. After the sightings and everything, and the phone calls, the next day, Monday, after Carl talked to me, everything was fine. My dad came home and I told him about it. Tuesday came around, and 9:30 at night, I got a phone call from Ronnie, who lived across the street. And he's screaming his head off. And that's all Bigfoot, you know, that's all Bigfoot. He's just going off. I pulled the phone away from my ear. My dad's sitting in his lounger, and he heard the whole thing too. And I just pulled it back. I said, "Ronnie, calm down, you know." And I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Well, my aunt's all Bigfoot." I said, "Okay. Where does she live?" "Mackin Valley." which is right down the road from us, about 3.5 miles. And they own a horse ranch, and something was spooking the horses. Well, her and her husband were eating dinner, and when they got done, you know, cleaned up and everything, she went out and put the horses away. This is not uncommon. You know, I mean, everything's out there. It could be a cat, it could be bear, it could be a damn rattlesnake, it could be anything, you know, to set these horses off. But it wasn't. She puts that horse away. She walks out of the barn to get the second one, and she's not paying attention. Runs right into Bigfoot. I mean, body contact. Swap into Bigfoot.
Whoa.
And bounces off of. Bigfoot looks down at her and grunts. And she screams, of course, and runs to the house. And Bigfoot runs back into the woods. They've gone their separate ways. You know, her husband came out with a shotgun, blew it off 3 times, trying to scare him off. And she runs back out of the pasture to get the second horse. And he jumps on a motorcycle and runs down the fence line, you know, trying to scare him off. I laughed about that. I thought that was funny. But anyway, Wednesday, we had a cattle association meeting. Okay, all the ranchers were there. All the big ranchers, we were there. My dad was there. It was a blowout. And we all talked about it. And we kept quiet. But we talked about Bigfoot, and everybody, including the sheriff and the captain, was there. And I know the captain and I know the sheriff, but the captain was my neighbor. I mean, he lived down the road from me, Captain Johnson. And anyway, at the meeting, that's all we talked about was Bigfoot. I was like, if you get them on your property and they're going after your cattle, shoot them, you know. But if not, leave them alone. But we were all told to be quiet. Don't say a word about Bigfoot. We didn't want to upset the town back then. So we didn't. And anyway, this lady was out at Miaka State Park, and she was bird watching. And she walked through this so-called hammock. And the two youngins that I mentioned were playing pretty much. Well, she disturbed them. One of them took off, and the other one stayed behind, and he's pretty aggressive. Didn't try to attack anything, but let it know, don't get any closer. And she got pictures of all three of them, or two of them. Anyway, then turned around, and she sent the pictures to Sarasota County Sheriff's Department. And the sheriff at that time, I can't remember his name. Anyway, he kept them under wraps for a long time. Well, finally, he retired and another sheriff came in. And that sheriff found those pictures and sent them in to Sarasota Herald Tribune. And that's how they got out. In 2001. Now, at that time, I'm 22, I'm 23 maybe, 22, 23, I don't know. But I have my own house and everything, but my dad still stayed out at the ranch. And I came out to help him, and he was reading the paper. When he read the paper and got done with it, he folded it up and he handed it to me. Says, you need to look at this. So I looked at it. There it was. On the front page of that paper was Bigfoot in Miaka State Park. That's crazy. And I said, all right, I read the article and everything. And I already knew what it was already about. because there was a document that came out in 1982 of this sighting this lady had. And all three photos were showed. And well, it was pretty cool.
What was the name of the Bigfoot documentary in 1982?
Yeah, it was on, I don't know what channel it was on, but there was a documentary on it. And they were showing Bigfoot, and she was on it. There's other documents out there on Miami State Park. You know, one in 2014, 13, a guy and his son went out to Monica State Park. What they do, they cross the park to get to Monica City. And this lady was filming Bigfoot, and they pulled over. Well, anyway, they pulled over too, and they got evidence of it. And there's documents on that too, that and finally, the third one, the guy finally explains what actually happened when they went out. It was crazy. They go out, the son takes off, and the father follows him. They go out to this hammock, and they shouldn't have done that, but they did. And they found hundreds of maimed and dead hogs all around that hammock. And they didn't go in the hammock. And I don't blame them, because that was their den. And they would have been killed. So, just question them, live or die. Now, here, I got 17 Bigfoot. They're all in the family. And they're nice. I've been doing this for 4.5 years out here. I've gained their trust. And I see them all the time. But I don't talk to them, but I see them. They watch me and I watch them. When we get done with this, I'm going out and getting some camera stuff, the SIM cards, and watch them and put them back. But last year, we had a rogue out here, and I'm not liking that. He's a big boy. He's 9.5 feet plus tall. And his footprint is 20 inches long by 10.5 inches wide. And he's not a part of this tribe at all. I don't know why he's down here. It doesn't make any sense. And I think he migrated from up north. I don't know. But nonetheless, he's here. And I don't know if he's friend or foe. So if I gotta kill it, I will. But, you know, that's my last question only. We'll go from there.
Okay, so you had this experience as a kid, and then did you see them again in this whole time period up until you saw that newspaper all those years later with the photographs? What did you do in that time frame?
I've been attacked twice after that. And it freaked me out because I didn't know. I was in Arcadia, Florida then. I was living out with my dad. My dad died, and I turned around. I was sleeping one Sunday morning. It was about 5:30. Something hit my bedroom.
Wait, it was so hard. What year was this?
Oh, 2010, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, 2010. Maybe 11. I don't know. I didn't keep date of it. But I turned around and I was attacked that morning. Something hit the house so hard. I figured a bird maybe flew in and hit the house, like an owl or a buzzard or an eagle. You know, it had to be big. And I went outside that morning at 8:30. Checked it out, and there was nothing. And no tracks, no anything. But a nice size of ball, or a softball size hole up in the house. I was like, this is about 12 feet up. I'm like, really? Well, 2 weeks later, I'm watching TV. It's 10:30 at night, and something. It's B-side house, and that's all wood. No doubt about it. This ain't a joke. I grabbed the gun and went to go out, and I stopped myself, and I said, "Jeff, you don't know how many there are." And I closed the door and locked it, and waited till the next morning, and I went out. Same thing. Another hole, 12 feet up. But there was a piece of firewood on the ground that wasn't there before because I just bugged. And so what the hell's going on there? And I go look to the fire pit. I look at the hog trap or the hog pen. Check it all out. You know, we got barbed wire all over the fence. So no hairs. And I went into the woods that were on the outside. And I didn't see anything. I didn't see nothing. And I backtracked. So didn't see anything. Then one night, my wife was out at the ranch. We weren't married then, but she moved in. Anyway, she was down below smoking. I was upstairs in the kitchen and turned around and coyotes started going off. So I grabbed the binoculars. She goes, "Are you hearing this?" And I said, "Yeah, I hear them." So I ran outside and I'm on the balcony and I'm looking for them. I can't find them. They're that close. Three of them go off. And then all three at one time harmonized. I knew it was Bigfoot. And I didn't realize they were out there. There was no signs at all. And I do a lot of outside work. I never found any tracks. Never saw any sign of Bigfoot. But the second time when it hit, I was like, "That's Bigfoot." And I had two guns at the side door. A shotgun and a Mini 14. Mini 14 was loaded with 20 rounds. I grabbed it, went to go out, and I stopped myself because I didn't know how many there were. You know, if you get in front of a Bigfoot, and you're going to have deer in the headlights action. So it was like, yeah, you're looking at that one, but you're not going to see the other three coming up and nailing your ass. And I had to turn around and I just shut the door and locked it. It's like, nope, this isn't their party. I'm going to deal with this myself. So I stayed indoors, and if there was another attack, I probably would have gone out, but there wasn't. And then with my wife, like I said, was coyotes going off, and there was three of them. I walked out on the balcony, and we heard them going off at once. And it was beautiful. It sounded great. And then it got real quiet. Nothing was around. Turned around, Bigfoot knocked on a tree three times. Bam, 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 with a big limb. And I knew right there was something going on. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in fact, that's their best mimics, you know, of animals. They can mimic deer, they can mimic all kinds of things, but coyote is one of their best. And I told my wife, or my girlfriend at the time, get up, get in the house, lock the doors, lock the windows. And she did. She came up to me and so what's this all about? And I said, "Well, it's hot in here," and blah, blah, blah. So let's put the AC on. And she just looked at me like, that's not the real truth. And I didn't want to tell her, but I had to. And I turned around and said, "Do you believe in Bigfoot?" So I've heard of it. And I said, "Well, guess what? You know, we're getting ready to be attacked again."
And so you hadn't told her about your story, your encounters as a kid prior to that night?
No, no, because I didn't want to run her off. But she knows everything now, and right away she put a life insurance policy on me, and she doesn't interfere, but she doesn't want to hear about it. She don't want to see it. She doesn't want anything to do with it. And poor girl, I scared the hell out of her that night, and she doesn't want anything to do with it.
Has anything like that ever happened at the house again, or no?
Well, we moved out, no. And we moved in to her mother's house, and I was up in Gainesville checking on my mom, and she's in a nursing home, so I was checking out the house. Well, it rained real bad down here, and turned around, when I came home, I wanted to go check out how bad the flooding was, because our so-called ranch is a swamp. And I went down and I looked. Yeah, it was wet, but I saw a footprint. And I was like, oh my God. And I was unemployed at the time. My wife comes, is it a big pet? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, I don't want to see it. And I said, all right. So it was a track. It was half in water and half out. And it wasn't that big. But nobody walks barefoot out here. And it was definitely a Bigfoot track. And I saw that. Great.
That's an interesting point about nobody walking barefoot out there in those areas. Is that because of snakes or?
All of it. Snakes. There's so many snakes. There's, you just don't do it. You know, you wear boots. Or you don't wear anything, and you stay in the house. But, no, man, we're cowboys and cowgirls.
So, from your first encounters as a kid to these encounters from less than 10 years ago or so, did you have any other encounters, or was it... I'm trying to get your timeline here. So, you had your the initial encounter... And then nothing until you saw the newspaper with the state park photos, and then nothing again until these incidents at the house?
Yeah, it's been off and on. Let's put it this way. Back in 1977 up to 1988, I haven't had any encounters. And, after that, then... From 88 up till, let's say, 2001, then this picture came up. No big deal. But right now, the last 4.5 years, so from 2013 till now, I've had not only authorization, but encounters with Bigfoot where I live. And I live in a trailer park. And it's crazy. They're there. They're here. And Mark and I went out Friday night, and he's my partner. And we looked over some video cams that I got hanging out there, and one showed a Bigfoot. So we turned around and we put it in my computer, and we looked at it, and come to find out, there's three. In that same picture. So it was cool. And this was the other day. Today's Sunday, so Friday, 3 days ago.
Is that one of the ones you sent me or no?
No.
Okay, so let's go through, when did you, so basically from between 77 to 88, you kind of forgot about it and lived a normal life, and then you got into Bigfoot research after that, or how did all that happen?
Okay, here's what happened. When I lived out on Proctor Road in Sarasota, and all this shit went down with Bigfoot, And we went through the Cattle Association and were told to be quiet. And I don't know if I mentioned the Sheriff's Department was told to be quiet. They didn't send that photo out till 2001 when the new sheriff came in, right? You got that. So after that, yeah, it was quiet. I lived in Sarasota City, kind of, and I was okay for a while. Well, I lived there till about 2007, and I had to move out because I had a remodeling job business. I was corporate, and I had to bail because of the recession, and that pissed me off. I lost my house, I lost everything. I moved out to my dad, who lives in Arcadia. And when I moved out there, like I said, there's no activity. Now, I've seen quite a bit of stuff out there. I've seen a Black Panther. I had a wolf come up the door, and she was so pretty. And she howled off, this, that, and the other. And we had that encounter, or those two encounters. Well, now, you know, my wife lives in Zoffo Springs at the ranch. I got a job at the trailer park, and I bought a trailer here for when her mom dies, we got a place to retire. And I've been fixing it up, and I stay here. So it's all good. When I came here to go to work, they had a bad hog problem, and it was bad. So I got a trap from one of my neighbors out at the ranch, and he owns 600 acres, runs cows. And he brought a trap out. I caught 47 hogs and killed 6, and that's really sudden. But the hogs went away, and all of a sudden Bigfoot showed up. Yeah, I knew it was in there. I had a gut feeling that Bigfoot was in those woods because I found remnants of hog being destroyed. And I said, that's not the wolf. There was a wolf out here also. I said, that's not the wolf. No way the wolf can do this. And a lady named Cindy turned around, and she was woken up at 3:30 in the morning by howling. She walks outside with her phone, and she gets a recording of all the sounds. First thing was an owl hooting. The second one was the wolf going off. And the third one was Bigfoot. And when it went off, it was like, oh my God. He's pissed off, and I could describe this in some way, but rather not. But I told her, I said, I want a recording of this. I've got to have a recording of this. I went to Walmart that night to try to find a DAC 8 recorder, and I couldn't find one. They didn't have any, and the only ones they had were cassette, and that's like, I'm not paying that kind of money.
What year was this?
This is back in 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, she was staying in a trailer out here, and her husband worked out of town. But he came home and heard that recording. He turned around and locked it up and pulled out of here and went closer to his job. So I never got an actual audio recording. I was so pissed. Another girl came in to the same lot, and she's deaf and doesn't hear very well. I mean, well, she's deaf. She can't hear at all, but she's not that brain smart. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to talk bad about her, but she turned around. I kept telling her, stay out of the woods, stay out of the woods. She wouldn't do it. Yeah, she would not stay out of the woods. And she went in, and got too close to the den. So one of the sentries followed her out, and she didn't know it. She went into her trailer and was walking around, and next thing you know, Bigfoot's looking through her window right at her. And she saw that. When she saw it, it scared the hell out of her, and she screamed. And Bigfoot took off back in the woods. She jumped in her car and came to my house and knocking on the door, pounding on it, more or less. And I was watching TV, and I got up, and what's going on? And she's freaking out. Couldn't even talk. I look at her up and down. She's wearing shorts. She's ghost white. And I looked her in the eye. I said, "You saw Bigfoot." And she throws her arms over her head and goes, "Monster, monster." I said, "Okay, I'll be down." So I grabbed the gun out of the cabinet and go down there. Already had a camera in the truck. And I do a recon around the trailer and nothing. I didn't find anything. And hung the camera up, this, that, and another. And this girl was going to stay all year long, but ended up taking off 2 weeks later after I checked the camera. And it was like, she's gone. You know, that's getting the hell out of her. And,
did you ever think to install cameras around that particular area?
Yeah, I got three cameras running. In fact, when we're done today, I'm going out and checking them. So something cleared my bait line, and that's unusual, you know. So I'm going to check all three cameras and see what's going on.
Okay, so just a couple more questions I had about the first incident. So you, your buddies that were with you, and I think you said either your friend or your neighbor's aunt that bumped into Bigfoot, that was all around that time?
1977, yes.
Yeah, so were there other people in the area who also had sightings or experiences, or was it just the people that you talked about?
No, there were other people that had experiences. The only ones I know about was Ronnie's aunt that had the horse farm, you know, the horse ranch, whatever. That was the only one I heard about. I'm sure they made quite a ruckus going through getting to Miami State Park.
Has there ever been an official investigation into your particular case and this incident, or is this basically you're the only one who knows this story other than the couple other people that had seen it?
You're pretty much right there. No, I haven't, you know, I mean, we were told to be quiet about it, and it's kind of odd. So if other people heard about it or seen it and been involved in it, I don't know. And because they were told to be quiet too. And we were a close-knit group back then, and what you were told, you followed the orders. You didn't go outside of the line. And that's pretty much it, you know.
So after the Mayaca Park photos were released, and there was, I know there was some news media, Lauren Coleman investigated it as well. So you're saying the date those photographs were not taken when they said they were taken? Because the photographs were supposedly put in an envelope was dated December 22nd, 2000. And the letter was signed, "God bless, I prefer to remain anonymous." And this was when it was mailed to the Sarasota Sheriff's Department.
Exactly. But they were sent in 1977 to the sheriff that was told, like all of us, that night to keep it quiet. So what he did was put it in a safe, and he didn't release it until he retired. Okay? He wasn't up for re-election. He was done. And the new sheriff found him. That's how the photos got out. You got me?
Yes.
Because the new sheriff found him, and he turned around and sent them to Sarasota County Herald Tribune. And I got the original paper of that hidden away in a box out of the ranch. And like I said, the document was already out back in 1982, 1983 maybe. And I seen a lady, I know her, and she released these photos. And there's two of them. And it's, those are actually the youngins. Even though they're in their teens, one hauled ass, the other one stayed put. And he was a toughie. And he comes around and he showed his canines and everything. He was aggressive. It's a wonder she didn't get attacked. But everything was good, apparently.
There's one article that I found here from the Sarasota Herald Tribune, February 12, 2001, that actually quotes Lauren Coleman as well. He suggested it was a breeding population of unknown apes, but the this is the text that accompanied them. An elderly woman was disturbed by a large animal in her Florida backyard. For two nights, an animal took apples off her back porch. On the third night, the woman took two photographs of the thing her husband felt looked like an orangutan. She reported it would make whoomp noises near her hedgerow and had a strong odor. So you're saying that was a different case, and the original woman was bird watching at the state park, and this was just somebody else?
That's somebody else. I've never really heard of that. That's interesting. Okay, if she was feeding them, it's not an orangutan, man. Come on. It had to be a young Bigfoot who probably came in on her porch and got it.
Who was this? This was Steve. Was Steve, this column by Steve Otto, was he the one that did the original the skunk ape expedition? It references an expedition. This is in the Tampa Tribune, February 13th, 2001. This column was titled Absolute Kinda Irrefutable Proof of Skunk Ape. And this was, he mentions that he was on the first real skunk ape expedition over 20 years ago, deep into the Everglades. So that would be somewhere around what you stated, 82.
Everybody's about 3 hours away. Never heard of him and don't know anything about that expedition. I work with a group right now called FBI, Florida Bigfoot Investigators, and I'm not a part of them. I got my own group. I don't need them. But they do come up with some stuff. No, that's nothing I've ever heard of. But it's pretty wild. I like it. You know, the Everglades, I've hunted once. And I will never go back. And I know I will never go back there. Too many things. It wasn't Bigfoot. It was just too many snakes and gators. And like, I don't hear anymore.
Yeah, there were a number of articles, and some of the analysis of the photos, they say that it's clearly a skunk ape surrounded by authentic native Florida palmetto scrub. So what's your theory on what the Bigfoot is? Is it just an unknown line in just an unknown primate that lives in Florida?
It's hard to understand. You know, it's hard to really tell. You know, Bigfoot is very smart, for one. And two, to really get close to them, they have to earn your trust. and I've got it. So, you know, if I were to sit out there tonight and sit there, maybe one will walk in and sit down and try to talk to me. I doubt it. But, you know, they are a mysterious primate. And I'm not a cryptozoologist, so I can't say scientifically what they are. But I'm trying to get, right now, some people that can help me out on this. I need people that can sponsor me in a way that I can get to the bottom line of this.
Do you have your own website?
No, I do not. No, I do not. Well, I got my own email. That's it. But, you know, I don't have a website. I'm not really big into this, but I've been doing it for 42 years. And it's like, okay, you know. But I'm to the point now, I got a hot spot here. And I love it because, you know, every time I go out, there's something. It's right in my backyard. It's right in my backyard. And I don't...
Let's go over some of the photographs you have captured. In the first photograph that you sent me here, it's kind of hard to tell. What are we looking through here?
Okay, the first photograph I sent you was a female, and she's carrying a baby. I have a better photograph of it, but I have to do a lot of computer work to get that back. I lost it, and I had a virus on my computer, so I had to clean it totally, and that sucks. Anyway, she's a female. She's approximately 8'2". Weight-wise, you can guess anywhere 800 to 900 pounds, and she's carrying a child, not a baby, a child, because we found tracks right there with her and that child walking side by side. What happened was two poachers or homeless people walked through the woods, and she snatched that child up and turned around and stood still right there as they crossed, hit my camera, and there she is. And I don't know, but I went back out. Now, there's a story up on that. I went back out Monday morning and pulled that card so I could look at it that night. And I looked at it that night, and I found the two guys that were walking by. And I went to go put the card back, and I went to go walking out. I stepped in this trap, and I was like, what in the hell? And I backed out, and I looked, and there was a big footprint right there. It was the alpha male, 20 inches long, 10 and a half inches wide. I've never seen a track that big. It was just humongous.
I can't tell the scale here, but is that one of the ones you sent? Or I think you sent me two photos of tracks here, one through the grass and then one on dirt.
Well, I don't know if I sent you two tracks, but the one through the grass, there's two walking through a drainage retention pond. And I can send you another track of this one. And it's kind of hard to see, but if you look close enough, you'll find it. And you're going to be amazed. But this thing was huge. I measured it. My partner came out and measured it. And it all measured the same, 20 inches by 10 and a half wide. It was huge. And I got photos of it. Now, I sent you a photo of a Bigfoot. You're getting the back of it. It's yellow. And that's the back of him.
How far from the camera is this?
Not far. Not far at all. Because the camera can't pick it all up. It's so close to the camera, it can't pick it all up.
This is from a color trail cam?
Yeah.
Okay.
So... So it's right there. So, I mean, all the other pictures I got of this thing are so blurry because he's moving so fast. The camera couldn't pick it up. And it pissed me off. Now, he won't be back, if he comes back, until, let's say, late July, August.
You also sent you sent one with the mouse pointer on it. What is it? What is it pointing to? I see a tree here, and what kind of looks like? I can't tell what that is. It almost looks like
there's a Bigfoot standing right there. You can't see it
with the video, the image with the mouse pointer.
Yeah, and there's another one standing right next to him.
It kind of looks like, it looks, I don't know if I'm mixing two things together, but I see it almost looks like a one deer instead of two objects.
Okay, what they're doing, they're looking at the bait line. One's looking at the bait line, there's another one to the right of him, and it looks like he has said is above a stump. And there is a stump out there, and he's kneeling down. But you can clearly see his right arm, or left arm, excuse me. And they're looking at the bait line. But if you scroll to the left, there's a Bigfoot crawling behind that tree. And so basically, there's three in that picture. But I can't believe you can't see that one. He's clearly out there.
I can see something to the left of one, which... It's a figure. I see a figure, and then I see something to the right. I can't make it out. But what the mouse pointer is pointing directly to, I mean, it almost looks like there's a clear head and a backside of a four-legged animal. It doesn't quite, I can't quite see.
Okay. All right. So I get a lot of this a lot. How long have you been researching this and doing all that, you know?
Pretty much since I was a kid, I was always into In Search Of and all the different documentaries. And then I kind of moved away from it, and I studied philosophy and logic a lot, which is part of the reason. I don't know if you've listened to the Bigfoot Skeptics podcast that I did, but I think it's kind of silly how people dismiss Bigfoot just based on, like, for example, they think people who've had encounters can't tell the difference between a bear and a Bigfoot when they're there personally. Like, if you're an outdoorsman, like you were saying, how you know the difference between a wolf and all these animals, so obviously you're not going to mistake a wolf for a Bigfoot. So I thought it was kind of silly how most so-called the scientific establishment mostly dismisses a lot of these claims when, if they had the encounter themselves, I'm sure they would think different about it. I don't really believe black and white fallacies. So I don't think Bigfoot can only be one thing. So a Bigfoot creature of some kind, like in your case in Florida, whatever you saw, maybe that's some kind of a line of, orangutan that people don't know about. And in other people's cases, it could be something completely different. It doesn't have to be one thing, just like there's different species of bears, or there could be a lot of different explanations. I don't really pick one over another. They could all be true. I don't know. So I like to be as objective as possible. I don't say what it is or what it isn't. It could be anything. You actually are familiar with... specifically your cameras. I mean, if you send me some more images and maybe outline where it is, I could see it, because it's a little blurry. But I'm not trying to say it's not there, if that's what you were saying.
Well, I understand. I'm skeptics and everything, but these are taken at night, and, you know, you just got to take them with a grain of salt, and you got to look at it.
I think the number one reason people doubt the existence of Bigfoot is they kind of expect, they just expect, for whatever reason, they expect bodies. They for whatever reason, think that anybody that goes out to look for him would come back with a body, or how come there's no body yet after all these years? And they fail to account that if the evolutionary mechanism for Bigfoot is to be able to go undetected. I mean, that's if that's their primary evolutionary mechanism, it wouldn't be that easy to just find one.
Well, I agree with you on that, but I know what they do when a Bigfoot gets disposed. So I know what they do with them. And it's kind of graceful in a way.
You want to let the listeners know your email if they want to contact you, questions, comments, sponsors, volunteer.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. Like I said, I need sponsorship. If I have the cameras, I can finish this project and put this to rest. Well, I've been doing it for 43 years, man, and I'm never going to quit. You know that. My wife won't let me in. Well, she wants me to, but I'm not going to do it. I'm a cowboy. I go out and work cows. And but at the same time, when we get done with this conversation, I'm going out in the woods and having another one.
What's the best way for people to contact you?
Yeah, no problem. Sarasota, Sarasota, 44 at yahoo.com.
So that's Sarasota 44 at yahoo.com.
Yep.
All right, cool. So yeah, this has been a very, very interesting account from a longtime Bigfoot researcher. Anything else you would like to add? And of course, we'll have you back on for further updates and further theorizing on Bigfoot. But anything else you'd like to add?
Well, the next thing we need to do, I'll tell you stories that I know of other encounters, not that I've had personally, but other people have. And it's important this gets out. It's like this one guy, Denver, got killed because he's wearing a long scent on himself, you know, and Bigfoot attacked him. So, you know, there's certain things that we need to talk about and all that. But right now, let's concentrate on finding me a sponsor, get it out there and see what's going on. And hopefully I can finish my conquest out here and lead these things along. And they're friendly enough. I'm not worried about it other than the rogue. And if I see him, I don't know what I'm going to do. You're going to have to shoot him or do something.
All right, there you have it. We hope you enjoyed another edition of the Mindshock podcast. If you like the podcast, you can donate to our PayPal. Check the link in the description. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. And if you like the podcast, hit the like button. Feel free to share it across social media platforms. Questions, comments, theories, suggestions, just leave them in the comment section. You can also check us out on Facebook, Reddit, Patreon. This is Bruce McGuire signing off, and this has been Jeff Sims on with us. We will catch you guys next time.